From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, welcome to Friday.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Talk to me about inflation.
Oh, gosh. Well, you were just talking about petrol prices in the US. Mm. And so look, inflation has really reinserted itself into the prognostications of investors and strategists around the world, because we've got a bit of a complex scenario coming up here. So, look, globally, if we go back sort of 2 or 3 months, there was a fair bit of concern about inflation becoming problematic because we had the sharp and sustained lift that we saw in the oil price, you know, March, April, May. And it feeds through basically into almost everything. Now, in the last few weeks, it looks like we haven't seen the short-term lift in inflation to the extent that was feared, but we just can't shake off the fact that even in a less troublesome outcome, the level of inflation in a number of key economies is still above the central bank targets. And you think about our context, Mike, here in New Zealand, we've now potentially got a growth problem feeding into inflation. Yeah. And look, we don't operate in a vacuum. Global inflation pressures hit us. So this week, we've had an inflation expectation update in Australia, and we've had both CPI and PPI in the US. So more grist to the inflation mill. Melbourne University, they released their latest update on consumer inflation expectations. That printed at 4.7%, which on the face of it, given inflation is running about 4 across the ditch, looks pretty bad. But the previous read was 5.5, so that's a big fall. So the direction of travel is important, and inflationary expectations are falling. Now, RBA is still pretty focused on the inflation risks, like every other central bank. They've also got this new fly in the ointment over the oil price hiking back up in the last week, and everybody's now worrying about that. Now, the market over there is divided whether they need another rate hike. Yesterday morning in the US, we had PPI inflation released. That's producer price inflation, inflation for business, basically, came in cooler than expected. Same as we saw earlier in the week on CPI. So headline PPI registered the lowest reading since April, 4.7% increase on a year earlier. Again, it may seem high, but the markets were expecting 5.1%. So you've got cheaper fuel prices that's feeding into energy transportation costs, generally broad-based cooling. So some suggestions the Fed will have room to postpone the next interest rate hike. They're still talking quite hawkish, though. But as I said yesterday, Mike, the world is on an edge. So do we get a resolution in the Middle East in the short term, or does this drag on? That is the absolute crux point at the moment.
The questions of the age. What about earnings season? If you're a bank, it went pretty well as far as it can work out.
Yeah, I think you referred to this yesterday. So second quarter earnings season in the US. Now, one of the really important tailwinds for US and global share markets is the very robust outlook for earnings. We saw it at the beginning of the year, it's still there. But where earnings go, share markets tend to follow. It makes earnings season really pivotal because you need outcomes that validate the frothy expectations. Now, earnings season in the US traditionally starts with the banks, and we've had a pretty good start. I was going to say a stellar start, but I don't know if I want to be that enthusiastic on a Friday morning. US banks delivered one of the strongest quarters since the post-pandemic period on the back of sort of strong equity share market trading activity, investment banking fees, M&A, IPO, all that sort of stuff. But just looking at some other major companies, Mike, the semiconductors, very much in the spotlight, hot, hot, hot. Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company, TSMC, it's not a US company, but they released their results in the last 24 hours, very strong. The next few years, the boss said, are going to be very good business for TSMC. That share price has more than doubled in the last 12 months. ASML, Dutch company, they make the machines that make semiconductor chips. Their share price only up 145% in the last 1 month. They beat expectations. We've got Netflix later this morning. Johnson & Johnson, they beat expectations, although they're missing a couple of key sectors. Share price a little bit lower. But we have to sort of comment, I suppose, this morning, because I'm just looking at the share price now. SpaceX, when I looked at this earlier this morning, it was at $132. It's now at $130. IPO price was $135. Mike, it's being reported that as much as 30% of the publicly tradable float has been shorted. So people are betting the price will fall. So it's under the IPO price. What I will say is owning SpaceX will not be for the faint-hearted.
Well said. What are the numbers?
Oh, right. So the Dow Jones is down 0.25%, 131 points, 52,525. The S&P 500 down 0.5%. That's 38.7534. The NASDAQ under a little bit more pressure, down 1.2%, 317 points, 25,954. The BRICS yesterday, they gained 0.5%. 10,572 on the FTSE 100. The Nikkei fell, had quite a big fall actually, 2.79%, 1,915 points, 66,835. Shanghai Composite also sort of weak, 1.85% fall there, 73 points, 3882. The Aussies barely moved yesterday, 8840 was the close there, and we lost 20 points in the NZX 50, 13,614 the mark. Kiwi dollar, 0.5837 against the US, 0.8348 against the Aussie, 0.5105 euro, 0.4334 against the pound, 94.81 Japanese yen. Gold dipped under 4,000 bucks again, 3,985. Brent crude holding on, $84.15.
You have an awesome weekend, mate. See you next week. Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher.